Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 15. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." This is the text. Today's gospel reading contains two familiar parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. We're probably more familiar with the parable of the lost sheep, but really, the two are telling the same story. But the full impact of what Christ is trying to get across in these two parables isn't seen without putting them into the context of what Jesus has been talking to his disciples about for some time now. Luke wants you to be absolutely sure of what he's talking about. And through the introduction of these two parables and the context of the chapters in which the middle chapters of Luke's gospel, it is Luke's intention of letting his readers know what Jesus has been teaching his disciples over the previous days and even in the days following. Jesus and the 12 disciples are journeying toward Jerusalem. We are days away from Palm Sunday, and our Lord has focused his attention on one major issue: table fellowship. Table fellowship language dominates Luke chapters 13 and 14, and table fellowship continues to be the prime focus here in Luke chapter 15. Jesus has been criticized for eating with tax collectors and sinners. And we may think, well, what's the big deal? We eat with anybody. But in the ancient world, you didn't just eat with anybody. You didn't sit down at a meal to hash out your differences with someone. You didn't sit down at a meal until you had already hashed anything out that needed to be taken care of. If there was any grudge or animosity, that had to be taken care of first, before you would have a meal. If you sit down at a meal with someone, it means that you are in full fellowship and you consider this person to be as close to you as family. The Pharisees grumble against Jesus for welcoming sinners, for welcoming tax collectors even, these people who have a license to steal. These undesirables are not only in his presence, but he is expressing a very, in an open way, that they are forgiven. The Pharisees, they didn't like Jesus' message. They didn't like his message of the parables, where only those who have repented of their sin will be welcome to sit at the master's table. And that only for the repentant do the people of God and angels rejoice. I mean, when Jesus is eating with tax collectors and sinners, he is preaching to them before. He is dealing with their issues, but sits down and eats with them as a way of showing that all is forgiven, as they have repented. And it's repentance, that's what the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, it's what they're about. Now, the story with the lost sheep, Jesus tells it in such a way that, well, I mean, generally speaking, we, each of us, are that lost sheep. Yet sometimes we do need to be like the shepherd. And unfortunately, sometimes we are like the 99. Now, we all seem pretty sure of the role of the lost sheep in this parable, as the sinner who strayed away from the Lord. was unable to return other than by the good shepherd hoisting him onto his shoulders and joyfully carrying the sheep back home where he belongs. And we understand the role of the good shepherd who leaves the 99. He doesn't abandon them. It was a common practice in those days to have a number of people shepherding a flock, especially a flock as large as the one in the parable. At least helpers to the shepherd. And we have these characters in the story nailed down as to what they represent. And generally speaking, again, where we find ourselves is that we are that lost sheep in need of a repentant heart. We continually come before our Lord and say, I am a poor, miserable sinner. And even though ultimately Jesus is the good shepherd, there are times when we are called to be that shepherd who seeks out those who are lost in the wilderness, who calls them to repent, to turn away, to change their mind. And this isn't simply just the pastor's job. You do have far more influence over people in your life than you imagine. And I know people say, oh, but I don't have the words. Well, ultimately, you have the Word of God. And remember that ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit who does the work. But our attention this morning is really taking a look at the 99. Because Jesus was speaking about the 99 just as much as he was the lost sheep. Now the question is, do you like to think of yourself as being part of the 99? Those who seem to be doing what they were supposed to do. Well, don't answer too quickly, because the 99 in the parable aren't all that they're cracked up to be. When Jesus says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. When he says this about those who do not need repentance, who do not need to repent, we should be reminded of what Jesus spoke to Matthew, the tax collector, when he called him to be a disciple. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The 99, they don't represent the truly righteous before the Lord, because there's only one way to be righteous before the Lord, and that is, under the grace of God, to be forgiven of our sin. But the 99 represent those who believe themselves to be righteous in and of themselves, and they do not need to repent, who claim and assume they have no need to turn away because they're where they're supposed to be anyway. Therefore, they have no need for Jesus. They have no need for him to carry the guilt of their sin to the cross. The 99 sheep in this parable play the same role as the good son does in the parable of the prodigal son, which just so happens to be the very next parable that immediately follows our text for today there in Luke chapter 15. Luke has grouped all of these parables of Jesus together for a reason. He's making one point. We look at the parable of the prodigal son. We're pretty familiar with that and what the good son, his attitude was when the prodigal son returns. The good son is jealous that the father rejoiced over his sinful son's repentant heart. The good son was jealous that the father put on a banquet. Welcome this sinful wretch who spent the inheritance. He invites him to join in table fellowship. Just as the shepherd returning with the lost sheep rejoices with friends and neighbors. just as the woman who lost the silver coin rejoiced with friends and neighbors. And in that world, if you have a joyous gathering in your home, as she invited her friends and neighbors in her home, there's going to be a meal. If you pass through the doorway of someone's house, you are staying for a meal. There are missionaries that I've conversed with over the years. They learned that real quick when they were in Africa. If you want to have a quick conversation with someone, you do it outside. If you walk inside the home, you're there for the day. That's how the ancient world worked also. When we gather together here in God's house, our good shepherd has invited us to gather together as friends and neighbors who he treats like family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we come together in table fellowship. When we approach the Lord's table, we do that which the Pharisees refused to do. We acknowledge that there are sins for which we need God's forgiveness, sins which Jesus carried to the cross. And we welcome other sinners into our midst who also have been led to repent and turn from their sinful wandering past. The 99 are like the people who have told me throughout my ministry. I mean, I wish I had kept track how many times I've heard people say this, honestly. Who have told me, well, they don't go to church because, you know, churches are just full of hypocrites. I can only speak for our Redeemer. But on the occasions when I have been told that, my standard response is, well, we like to call them sinners in need of forgiveness. Because that's who we are. And if you're looking for a church that does not have sinners in it, there is but one, and that is the church triumphant. And therefore, we come again and again and confess our sins and repent of our sins, and rejoice that our Lord has welcomed us to his table. We are called to come before our Lord and acknowledge the wrongs of our past, turn away from them, and be refreshed and strengthened at the greatest of all tables, with the greatest of all food and drink, the very body and blood of the Son of God himself. In Christ, the lost are found. In Christ, sinners are forgiven. And in Christ, the dead are raised. During his ministry, Jesus welcomed sinners, and he ate with them. This morning, Jesus welcomes sinners to his table. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.